Please turn your Bible back to our text this morning, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we will be meditating on verse 15. Verse 15 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Last week we have been encouraged, or rather I have encouraged you, all of us, to spend some time in reflection and to recollect the blessings of the Lord throughout this year. And we are reminded to render to God and to our Lord, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, all the praise and worship due unto His name. This week we want to continue to do so in that thought, especially during this time of the year where the world celebrates and historical event without even knowing its true significance and meaning. I hope that this morning, those of us who are gathered here, you will be able to celebrate these historical events, not just with gifts and giving and receiving of gifts, and to sit under Christmas trees and to just think of those gifts, but rather you would consider very carefully that this is a life-changing historical event that ever happened in mankind. Those of us who are the children of the living God through our Lord Jesus, those of us who are in Christ, should particularly praise God for the gift of gifts. It is by and through His only begotten Son, God who sent His own Son. It is through Him alone that we can truly praise God and thank Him and worship Him, since we have received the gift of gifts. Salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is that unspeakable gift that we want to look at this morning. Our text reads, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." What moves the Apostle Paul to make this sublime statement? I submit to you that Paul was so stirred, Paul himself is so moved to make this statement, because he personally was the recipient of this gift of gifts. He received it by faith, and he had known the power and the work of this gift in his own life. And he rejoiced further to see this gift, to see this power of this gift working in the lives of the Corinthian Christian. And that is why he is so moved. He sees this gift working not only in his own lives, but right now he sees it in the lives of believers, when they unreservedly gave in support of the needy saints away, far away from Corinthians. And that is why Paul is so moved to make that sublime statement. Those of us who have been abundantly forgiven of our sins will also give freely. Spurgeon said this, "The large heart of God breeds large hearts in men, and they who live upon His bounty," meaning to say to live on His gift, God's gift, "are led by His Spirit to imitate that bounty according to their power." We find here the Apostle Paul in this chapter, in his letter to the Corinthians, was full of praise for the Corinthian Christians. Why? Because of their giving to the needy saints, whom they do not know, whom they have not met. He was much encouraged by their willingness to give to the relief of the brethren in distant land, which they have not seen, which they have not heard, to which they have no connection except for the spiritual bonding in Christ. Just for the spiritual bonding in Christ, the Corinthian Christians are so moved and stirred, because they themselves have experienced, have tasted what it is to receive this gift of gifts, salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, they fully understood what it means to receive that gift. And right now, with that work of that gift in their lives, they return thanks to God, and they return it by showing their love for the brethren. They do not know them personally, yet they generously contributed to the welfare of these suffering brethren in the provinces of Macedonia and Achaia. And that's what we read just now in chapter 9. Behind the hearts of their generous giving, Paul saw something in them that moves him, that moves them in such a wonderful way. He saw the love of Christ working in their hearts, working in their minds and in their lives, that enabled them, that empowered them to give. Because the Corinthian Christian first received the greatest gift of God into their hearts that produces such kind of Christ-like attitude, which is selfless and gracious. You see that power of the gift, that it is not just receiving salvation, and that is about all. But that gift worketh in them, produces in them that Christ-like attitude. Then in return, they cannot control themselves per se, but to give generously. Upon seeing such Christian virtue in them, you must realize that Paul is the founding pastor of the Corinthian church. And right now, he sees his own sheep maturing in their faith. Not only have they believed, but they have matured in their faith. And right now, it is manifested in their life. And Paul is so joyful to see that. And so he bursts forth to give this doxology in the last part of this chapter, praising and blessing God for working in them such a love for others. This morning, as the preacher of this church, I like to say to all of us, do others see Christ working in such a way in our lives? Can this be said of every member of New Life Bible Presbyterian Church, London? Can this be said of us? Is this manifested forth in our giving, in our loving one another, in the work of the Lord, in our serving our God and our Savior who has given us this gift of gifts? Can we really say that? Is this sin in our lives? To these questions, I shall leave it to each of us to search our own hearts, whether this is true of each one of us. During this coming festive season, let us not be drawn away by all this commercialism, the lights, the glitters, the gift, the receiving of gifts. But I would suggest that we consider very soberly this life-changing event. Whether we are like our Corinthian brethren, who have received this unspeakable gift, and if we have not, what must we do? And if we have received this gift, what are we doing with this unspeakable gift? Our meditation will bring out to us three major lessons, which I call the three P's of God's unspeakable gift. The first P is this: the public announcement of God's unspeakable gift. The second P is the person in God's unspeakable gift. And the third P is the purpose of God's unspeakable gift. Let us look firstly at the public announcement of God's unspeakable gift. We are told in Scripture, particularly in the four Gospels, that the angel of the Lord, the angelic host, made public about the birth of Christ. You can read that in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. The announcement of the first advent of Christ was made to lowly shepherds in the fields near Bethlehem. The angels from the public relations office, if you like to put it that way, under divine inspiration, or rather under divine instruction, brought the news to humble shepherds, lowly shepherds, who are the least likely target for such significant news outbreak, isn't it? The BBC will not come to you and I for news. The BBC will go to world leaders for news. Yet you see here, God in His divine purpose chose to make this public announcement to lowly shepherds. God sees fit not to make it known to unbelieving kings or religious leaders, but to lowly shepherds in the field. The public announcement, ladies and gentlemen, of this unspeakable gift, please note, it is not about Santa Claus is coming to town. Neither is it about Christmas sales is on now. That is not the public announcement of angelic hosts from the public relation from the divine office. Let us realize this. The public announcement of God's unspeakable gift is this: that Jesus Christ came into this sinful world to save sinners like you and me. That is the announcement from heaven. This is the true announcement of Christmas, and this is the most needed announcement for the public to hear. It is not a fairy tale. We in this church, in the tradition of the Reformed faith, we believe the angels are created of God. So this is not a fairy tale story. This is not fairy tales coming to us of angels coming to us to tell us that Christ came into this world. And this is for real. And those of us who have received this public announcement have experienced this life-transforming experience in your own lives as you receive Christ into your hearts. There is no public announcement that urgently needs to be made known to the public than this: that God sent His only begotten Son into this perishing world to save you and me. This public announcement itself, may I say, is a gift from God. It is His love and compassion upon undeserving sinners that compel Him to give us this good news. We did not ask for it. None of us asked of this gift, the gift of gift. As sinful, fallen people, we will not ask for that gift. But it is God who first initiated this gift. It is the most wonderful news you and I can ever hear from God, which itself is unspeakable. Words are beyond expression. Words are not sufficient to express how good, how gracious, how precious this news is. It is just like this, to illustrate, perhaps to just give us a little glimpse of what it is like to receive this news. Perhaps some of you here may have experienced that, but even that experience cannot be compared to this news. It is like this. It is like some of us who are waiting outside of the operating theatre for the doctors to come out to tell us how our loved ones are doing when they are undergoing surgery. I do not know whether you get a sense of that. And only those who have been through that will understand what it is like to stand outside the operating theatre, pacing up and down, waiting at those as time passes, as the clock ticks away, waiting for the surgery to come out to tell us whether it is a good news or a bad news. And so here you see that this news is something of that nature, that you and I are waiting in this sinful world, dying, perishing, with no hope. We are waiting. But yet we do not know we are waiting in condemnation. But now God comes with such a good news. It is like a doctor coming forth from the theater right now to tell us. And when the doctor says, all is well, what a relief. I'm sure the anxious family members will be so relieved. And I'm sure tears will come down from their eyes and they perhaps will hug the doctors and give them a kiss and thank them profusely for such a good news, isn't it? But what is our response when God gave us this news? Do we take it lightly? Do we think that this is just another fairy tale story from the Bible meant for the children? Oh friends, consider this very, very carefully. And those of us who have received the gift, those of us who have experienced the love of God, please remember, please recall how it is like when you first received that news. Then your friends came to tell you that Jesus loves you and gave His life for you. How do you feel at that time? Try to recall that very day when you opened your heart to receive that news. That Jesus comes into this world to save sinners despite of who you are. Oh, brethren and friends, our God is not like man. Immediately after the fall of our first parents, God without delay tells us in Genesis chapter 3 verse 21, the Lord made coats of skin and clothed Adam and Eve. And this is to point out to our first parents of this unspeakable gift. And so you see that this unspeakable gift has already been announced and given to us in encrypted language. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 21. But we do not see it. And oftentimes we just skim through our Bible. We do not search the scripture. And God also knows that we cannot save ourselves. And that is why He has no desire to see us perish in our sin, to leave us on our own to die. And therefore He comes to us and make known His love and grace to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh friends, as you commemorate this special day, the first coming of the Lord Jesus, please do not just pay your focus on all the gifts and the giving and all the greeting cards, which is good. But remember what is behind all that giving. It is the gift of life. Life everlasting. The Apostle Paul expressed this same thought of 2 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15 in another way, which we read in 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. What is that? That Christ came into the world to save sinners, for of whom I am chief. Paul's life mission was to make known to the public this unspeakable gift from God. The shepherd's reaction was one of joyful belief and joyful worship and praise. What about us? Those of us who have been believers for so many years, and year by year, we celebrate, we commemorate this birth. But has we lost that true meaning? Do we really sense and praise the Lord for such a wonderful gift? The gift that worked in us so powerfully, that transformed our life. It is a life-changing gift. Friends, it is not just a normal gift. It is a life-changing gift. And it is a gift that will give us eternal life. And it is a gift that will bring us finally to our heavenly home. Let us rejoice with the shepherds. Let us rejoice truly from our hearts. We are to respond in the same way, like the shepherds. In faith, believing in Christ alone as our only Savior. Faith and love in Christ cast out all fear. This is a heavenly announcement that has eternal consequences, my friends, for which you and I must pay heed to. It has eternal consequences. May I once again say that this is no fairy tale announcement. There is eternal consequences if you and I do not respond to this public announcement from heaven. It is the angel's pronouncement of the first coming of our Savior to the world. We must go beyond, as I said, the tinsel and the seasonal hype of Christmas to truly appreciate the lasting impact of this unspeakable gift. The second lesson I'd like to bring out to us, or the second P, is the person in God's unspeakable gift. It is important to know and understand the central figure of this unspeakable gift. As I said, it is not Santa Claus. The central figure of Christmas is not Santa Claus, but Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. He is the Anointed. In the original language, he is called the Christos, the Messiah. He is the Lord of all creation, the Kurios in Greek, the Master and the one having authority. That is who Jesus is. He is not just born as a babe in the manger, but he, in willingness to humble himself, condescend and come to us in such a lowly manner. He is the Messiah. He is the only Redeemer of all mankind, the great High Priest. He will be the one to mediate a sinful race to a thrice holy God. He is the great Shepherd, the good Shepherd, the Prophet, the Shepherd or the King who is coming again. Listen again to what the Prince of Preachers, Mr. C.H. Spurgeon, has to say. I quote, he said of Christ in this way, I quote, "He is a perfect man and glorious God. No tongue of seraphim or cherubim can ever describe the full nature of him whose name is Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is he whom the Father gave for us men and for our sakes. He was the creator of all things, for without him was not anything made that was made. Yet he was made of flesh and dwelt among us. He filled all things by his omnipresence, yet he came and tabernacled on earth." This is that Jesus who was born of Mary, yet who lived before all worlds. He was that Word who was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. He is unspeakable. It is not possible to put into human language the divine mystery of his sacred being. Truly man and yet truly God. But how great the wonder of it. So God gave God for thee. Dost thou hear it? To redeem thee, O believing man, God gave himself to be thy Savior. Surely that is an unspeakable gift. Unquote. Christ is that unspeakable gift. Brethren, friends and children, do not think of Santa Claus. That is not Christmas. That is not what we are supposed to focus on. The central figure of this unspeakable gift is Christ, God only begotten Son, who came down into this sinful world to die for you and me, undeserving sinner. If it is not Christ, think of this and consider. You and I will not be sitting down here in this pew comfortably to commemorate this special event. You and I this morning will not be here. You and I perhaps are out there lost, still lost in our sin. You will not be able to have this opportunity to sit down comfortably to listen to the Word of God, to look into Holy Scripture, to remind ourselves once again of this life-changing event. He is the one who is willing to condescend himself to this sin-sick world, not in the glory of his heavenly throne, but to born in a, may I remind you, not just a manger, which you see in all the Christmas cards, but it is a smelly manger. That's where Christ is born. Not in a very beautiful, very cozy manger that is depicted in many Christmas cards. But think of it, it is a manger with cows, with all the cattle inside, and it is smelly. That's where the Savior of the world, the God of glory, came in such a manner for you and me. The infinite became an infant. The Almighty God became man. This is unspeakable indeed. Ponder over it. Meditate over it. Consider it. read again the word unspeakable gift. Thanks be to God that He before whom all angelic hosts, all the angels of heaven not only bow down in worship, they veil their eyes. They dare not see and look at the Savior, the Lord of Lords. And that's how they worship our King. And right now this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords coming down to us to be among the poorest of sinners like you and me. Think of it. Consider it. What a condescension this is. God became man to save dying, undeserving sinners. There are many more things that I can say of this gift. But it is suffice to say for now that where would we be? Where would you and I be if God has not given us this unspeakable gift? Have you thought about that? Have you considered that? Especially those of us who have been believers for such a long time. Year after year, you celebrate this special event. To what purpose? To what purpose? Have you considered and thought about it? If God did not send us His unspeakable gift, there will be no Christianity. There will be no hope for you and me. No redemption for lost sinners. Condemned to hell. That's where we will end up finally. Jesus of Nazareth is no mere man. He is the living and true God, the only deliverer of His people from their sins. He is both fully God and fully man. The only sacrifice acceptable to God for the remission of our sins, for the penalty of our sins. There is no other sacrifice than what the Lord Jesus has done, to give Himself to us as the ultimate sacrifice. Christ said of Himself in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Not through Santa Claus, not through anything else, not through Mary, not through whatever, all your good works. Nothing can save you. And furthermore, the doctor Luke in Acts chapter 4 verse 12 adds this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven whereby men, or given among men, whereby we must be saved. No other name. Without Christ, it is a hopeless end. With Christ, it is an endless hope. This is God's gift for you and me. And the third P right now, very quickly, as time is running out. The third P is the purpose of God's unspeakable gift. After hearing the public announcement and the receipt of the gift of salvation, we are not to keep silence about it. We are told in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, and there we read for ourselves. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is for us. This is for you and me to imitate. We are first to praise and glorify God for His unspeakable gift. We are not to set out straight away to the highways and byways. You see here, the first thing we ought to do is to return thanks to God and to praise Him for He has saved us. We are to echo the words of Paul, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Can you and I truly say from our hearts this morning that statement? Should this not be repeated, or rather to be the repeating theme for the rest of our lives, for those of us who are in the Lord? Is this your theme? Is this your motto, so to speak? You who are Christians, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Brethren and friends and children, you cannot thank God if you do not know God personally. What is there to thank? Can you thank somebody if you do not know that person has done something good for you or helped you? You must know that person personally. Does it matter to you if you do not know God personally? As I've said before, and I'm repeating this again, this unspeakable gift is a life-changing event. This gift to you and me, our response has eternal consequences. And this morning, you have to consider it very, very carefully. For those of us who have already received Christ, those of us who have already received this gift, the responsibility falls more on you because you have received that gift, and how you are responding to get to that gift matters to God. It matters to God. Let me tell you that it matters to God personally. It matters to God so much that He is repeating this public announcement of His Son's birth year after year. Day after day, the Lord is calling out to you and to me to come to Him through His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Night after night, the Lord, our Lord God, is patiently waiting for you and me, especially for those who are backslidden, to return to Him, for He is ever merciful, ever gracious, ever willing to receive those who come to Him in humility and in repentance. For those of us who have not received this gift, may I urge you to receive this gift. For you cannot praise and give thanks to God for this gift unless you know Him personally. So let us first be united to thank God for this gift, to thank His Son who died on the cross for our sins, and to thank God for His Holy Spirit. Oh, there are so many things to thank God for. Not just to thank God the Father, not just to thank the Lord Jesus for being our Lord and Savior, but we have to thank the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit worketh in you and in me, both to will and to do His good pleasure. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us not forget the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit proceeded from God the Father, from God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is sent by the Lord Jesus to us, the believers, to seal that promise of salvation in us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we ought to praise and thank God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For this is the whole work of God, not us. And then secondly, we are to go around to tell others, just like this shepherds, they went and spread that news to others. That is our second purpose, to tell others of this good news. The Christian message is one of peace and reconciliation between a sinful generation and a righteous, just, and holy God. True peace, brethren, true peace is not just the absence of war, but securing the favor of God, not incurring His righteous wrath. That is true peace. It is a peace with God and the peace of God. And that is a great difference. If you do not have any of this, you are not at peace with God. And God is your enemy. And you are an enemy to God. Romans 5:8 says this, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior, through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message we ought to carry with us to the world outside. As depraved sinner, we are all enemies with God unless there is a mediator to reconcile us together in peace. Christ alone is our only advocate and mediator. Christmas is about making peace with God and with our fellow man through that perfect gift, the life everlasting gift, the atoning death and the victorious resurrection of Christ. That is the true meaning of Christmas. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, for He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This, my friends, is the true purpose of this unspeakable gift. As we approach the year-end season? Do we truly understand? Do we truly appreciate and understand and celebrate the birth of Christ in the full appreciation of that public announcement of God's unspeakable gift, in full appreciation and understanding of the person in God's unspeakable gift, in full appreciation and understanding of the purpose of God's unspeakable gift? May I suggest to put aside all this celebration of eating and having fun and singing, but let us pause. Pause and ponder soberly this joyous, life-changing message of salvation through Christ alone. As the year draws to a close, let us spend some time to reflect, to see and to ask ourselves, what have we done to this unspeakable gift? You and I have no excuse. Those of us who are in Christ, you have received this gift long time ago, and you have been celebrating this gift year after year. But what else? Is that all? Where are you now? From the time you have become a believer, where are you now? Have you matured? Have you grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? Are you drawn closer to the Lord? Do you love the Lord more? Do you read His word more? Do you seek Him more in prayer? Do you serve Him more fervently? These are the things we need to consider. Christ, our Lord, is the only way to everlasting life. Born of a virgin, He lived a perfect life that He may die a sinless death on the cross for us. Those of us who have backslided, those of us who are still outside, those of us who are still seeking, do you have the joy of salvation and the hope of eternal life? It can be yours if you truly repent, if you humble yourself before the Almighty Righteous God. And for those of us who are lukewarm, who are cold towards the Lord, let us return to Him, to give to Him our whole heart, soul and mind, to worship Him, to devote our life, our time, our energy to Him, in serving Him, in glorifying Him, in living for Him each day, that truly others may see in us the manifestation and the power of that unspeakable gift. Let this be our constant prayer, especially for members of this church, that truly people around this community can look at us, the members of this church, and see in us that unspeakable gift of God working in us, that they may glorify God and praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. O gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we ask that You will continue to speak to the hearts of each one of us. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Your Holy Spirit to continue to work in us and stir us up and move us and draw us closer to Thee. Father, for those who are still contemplating, for those who are still seeking, may Thou, Lord, bring them in by Thy mighty Spirit. May Thou cause them to humble themselves and to acknowledge that Thou art God, the only Savior of the world, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We pray, Heavenly Father, that as we continue in our celebration today, help us to remember the giver of this gift. In Jesus' name. Amen.